Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where I'm joined by my co-host back from Europe, Kayla Says. Also, I have to close my window. Oopsies.
Do you want to redo that or you want to just keep going?
If there's a couple chirping birds in the intro, that can only be peaceful for listeners, right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Hi, yes, I'm back in America, unfortunately. we have quite a bit to talk about, don't we, Derek?
Kayla, you decided to leave at the very moment that shit went down in the Drag Race content creator world.
Okay. I'm going to give the full context of this because I'm sure everyone is wondering, like, because this came out of nowhere. And
or if you're not on Twitter, you'll have no idea.
You'll have no
idea
what we're talking
about.
So I'll explain. This is also our daily discourse for today, because how could it not be? So basically, this all happened last week. This started right before I left for Europe, because I'll keep it vague. I won't say any specifics in terms of like names of people who were contacting me and Derek. But Derek and I were getting DMs. Around the time that Top RPDR Videos posted this teaser about a takedown of Drag Tea Served with Matt, two people who I will say I do not know very well. Like, I have no real stake in any of this. I don't know any of them either of them super personally. I don't even think I've seen a Top RPDR Videos video before. But there were people contacting me. And I think contacting you as well, saying that Drag Tea Served with Matt had stolen content from other people in the Drag Race community, and that there was going to be this takedown video coming out about him, and that we should spread the word. And again, without getting into specific detail about how we went about finding this out, we were like, okay, that's quite an allegation. Let's see if we can find some proof. Derek and I went...
The drag detective did some detective work.
The drag detective, it was Sherlock Holmes and his gay sidekick, bitch. I don't remember. Moriarty? I've never fucking seen Sherlock.
Yeah.
But we went snooping around because that's quite an allegation. And we were like, okay, we asked for proof and there was no proof. Then Derek DM'd Top RPDR Videos and was like, hey, I've been getting messages from people saying that, you know, your video covers me and stolen content from me and Jack and a bunch of other people, and I would just like some clarification on that. And then
I literally was just like, if my name is involved, I would just like to know ahead of time so that I can like get ahead of whatever chaos is going to come from this. And he literally replied with, it was something along the lines of like, maybe don't listen to whatever you read on the internet. I was like, oh,
which is crazy, because it was clearly people in this person's Discord server who were trying to get other Drag Race creators, like, bait us into covering it and bait us into promoting it, which, like, I don't know, if a creator does something wrong, by all means, call them out, I guess, but it's like, I'm not gonna hype that up with no proof. I don't know Matt, I don't know this person, and we just didn't feel like it was necessary for us to get dragged into it. So then a couple days go by, this video comes out, and it's like 4 hours long, and from what I understood, because I did watch it, everyone who's saying I didn't watch it, I did. I had a long bus ride at one point during my journey, and I was like, alright, I'm gonna wade into this shit.
Now or never.
Yeah, now or never, so I did watch it. And basically it seemed to me, at least, that this creator, Top RPDR Videos, was one of the people who sort of led the charge on the Butterface exposure back in the day. If you're not familiar, Butterface was an actual content farm that was, you know, stealing things from other Drag Race creators, and, you know, they're basically, a content farm is a company that is posing as a person, and it's just, you know, not a really healthy source of content output in a small community like ours. And I will give this creator props for, you know, doing their due diligence, exposing this content farm. Matt, I guess, had also been tangentially involved in the Butterface thing. He happened to, I think, interview somebody who worked for the Butterface company. And basically, Top RPDR Videos seemed upset that Matt inserted himself in that quote-unquote investigation, and as retribution for that, decided to make this video. Am I summing this up correctly, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, to me, there was just so much manipulation tactics involved. The, like, putting it up for 3 days, like a teaser for 3 days. So everyone is going to be following them and subscribing to them so that they get notified when the actual video drops. Like, then the whole opening the video with, like, the turtles that are, like, you know, people are fucking putting barnacles on turtles on purpose. I'm like, this seems manipulative a little bit. And to me, I feel like, and this is just my opinion, the Butterface thing, them exposing Butterface, is the biggest thing that Top RPDR Videos has probably done on their channel that I'm aware of. I've never watched their channel, but that's the only thing I've ever heard them involved in. I think that they were hoping they could maybe do something similar, expose somebody else, and, you know, get the same notoriety that they did for that video.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a little bit of that. There's definitely a little bit of, like, personal scorn in there. And again, you know, obviously we probably should not have inserted ourselves into it the way that we did, in the sense that, like, I did not need to have, like, a whole blow-up fight on Twitter with this person. I do not know who they are. And yeah, I was a little unkind to them because I just personally, and I say this as somebody who, like, Matt's content isn't for me, I'll just say it. Like, I don't really watch his videos that much. Like, I'm not friends with Matt. I don't know him super well. But to me, it was just the way that Top RPDR Videos was painting it as, like, oh, this is a planned, like, you know, smear campaign against me for the investigative journalism that I'm doing. Like, it just felt so self-involved, self-important. Like, at the end of the day, you know, Drag Race creators, we're all working from the same pool of stuff. You know, we have all profited off of an IP that we do not own. And I think in most cases, unless it's a very obvious content farm like Butterface, you get into dangerous territory when you're policing how people do that. I don't think what Top RPDR Videos does is that much different from what Matt does. Maybe Matt could be better in, you know, in terms of his own attribution, in terms of being more transparent about, you know, whether or not he hires a script writer for something or whatever. You know, we can all improve in those ways, but those conversations can be had privately at the end of the day, rather than making, like, a 4-hour hit piece on somebody. And everybody, it wasn't just us either, even before we got involved, everybody in the comments was like, you're reaching, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, 3.5 hours, are you joking? And, like, okay, I did not sit through all 3.5 hours. I definitely skimmed some sections because there was so much fluff. But to me, nothing that he said in that video was proof that Drag Tea Served by Matt is a content farm. Nothing that he said was proof of that. And to me, he was almost just making fun of Matt for a lot of it. Like, making fun of the way that Matt would say things. Or, like, making fun of the way that Matt would, like, present things or present himself. So to me, it just came off very bitter, mean-spirited. And listen, I've been known to get involved in, you know, Twitter dramas. But when you come at me crazy, I will definitely come at you 2 times as crazy right back. So I had no issue calling out the buffoonery and tomfoolery of this video. And then he threatened to make a video exposing me for stealing from him. I'm like, dude, I've never watched a single one of your videos until now. So, like, I don't know what you would possibly have on me stealing from you. But to me, it's giving desperate for attention. It's giving a pick-me, perhaps.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, the fact that what stood out to me was that he just, or they just seemed so sort of narcissistic about the whole thing, as if they are God's gift to investigative YouTube work. And as someone who is actually a journalist, you know, if you put out a product like that, I have every right to critique it. We put out content every single week. People have the right to critique it, and we have the right, you know, to clap back as we do. I do it sometimes, you know, if I think somebody is taking what I said out of context, or, you know, if somebody points out a mistake I made, like, I own up to it. That's what you have to do when you put out content. So if you put out a bad product and I, you know, watch it, because everybody was like, oh, you didn't watch it. I did watch it. And I didn't think it had to be 3.5 hours. I think people who do that kind of stuff usually try to do filler content in order to get their point across, to make it sound like they have more substantial material than you do. If you don't know how to edit your script, that's an indication that you don't know how to put out a good product when it comes to content. That video, whatever allegations you had, could have been shown in a 15-minute video. I do it every week, you know what I mean? And they were getting a little bitter like, when I was responding to them saying that I didn't think their video was good and claiming that it was a smear campaign. No, I just didn't think your video was good. I have the right to comment on it just like you have the right to comment on my shit. Stand on your shit. Stand by your shit. You know, don't mm-hmm. don't act like it's this grand conspiracy against you, because you're, first of all, you like, and I'm saying this as someone who doesn't have that many subscribers either. Like, you, this is not, you know, we're not top of the food chain here. You have 58,000 subscribers. I doubt anyone outside of this minute ecosystem knows who you are or I am. There is no grand takedown against you. Like, it's just ridiculous.
And, like, let's be real, too. Make the longer your video is, the more money you make.
Right.
So, making a 3.5-hour video, it's a good decision monetarily. Is it a good decision content-wise? No. And, you know, you've been getting messages, like, people saying, you're so mean, Kayla. You're a bitch. Like, it's like, girl, listen, if you want to take the side of someone who is dropping a 3.5-hour, like you said, hit piece on someone who they have almost nothing on, go for it. If you want to go side with them, sure. If we're the villains for calling out their bullshit, I'll be the villain. I don't care.
And it's also just like, I guess this is my last point. If you really think that Matt was doing something so egregiously wrong, you could have a private conversation with them. You know what I mean? It'd be one thing yes. if this person tried to reach out to Matt and say, hey, you know, like, I don't appreciate the way that you went about this, or I think you're being disingenuous in this way. You know, I don't know if that, from what I understand, I don't think that exchange ever took place. Matt kind of seemed like he had no idea, like, what was going on here. I just think, like, if you really cared about, like, making a change in this, like, ecosystem, in this community, you would have that private conversation. Not everything warrants a public call out. Some things do, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, Matt is squeaky clean in terms of his business model, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, maybe there are some problematic things and ways that he goes about content, but if you really cared about, like, making a change for the better, then have a conversation with him about it. Be a mature adult. You know what I mean?
It was so mean-spirited because this happened simultaneously to the fact that Matt hit 100K. So, like, there was this big moment, hitting 100K, getting that play button, all the shit, is now clouded with this whole video. I'm sure Matt was getting messages from, you know, top RPDR's fans saying, like, fuck you, you're a fraud, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, I checked in on Matt. He's been on this podcast. I don't watch all of his videos. I don't care about the drama as much as I care about other aspects of the show. But I've never had a bad interaction with Matt. Lovely person. I've been checking in on him. I think he's doing okay. And luckily, most of the comments on that video are calling out top RDPR for being wild for that. And I'm glad that most people are able to see through the bullshit, besides his couple of fans that are, you know, coming at us a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the last point I want to make is, like, if this creator is so threatened by Matt's videos and Matt taking up space, you know, in this community, then what does that say about, you know, how you feel about your own videos, about your own content? If you are so threatened and you feel debased by this other person who has nothing to do with you making content in your lane, I feel like that says more about you than it does about Matt at the end of the day. Like, it's not that serious, you know what I mean? Like, we are commentators who are talking about our favorite show that we like. I will be the first to say, I do this for fun, this is my hobby, this is not my job. I don't consider what I do to be particularly important. You know what I mean? I'm not really a journalist when I'm doing this. I know what actual journalism is because I do it in my real life, and it involves a lot more of a higher standard than what we do here. You know what I mean? Like, to be so self-important in that way, I think is a misstep, because at the end of the day, we are all profiting off of a show in the same way, and to distinguish yourself and being like, I'm doing it in a less problematic way than all of you are, that's not correct. Be honest about what you're doing. You don't have to debase yourself necessarily, but be honest about what you're doing, be honest about who you are, and that's my soapbox. Do you have anything left to add, Derek?
No, I just want to say that, like, I feel like through this, one of the things that I wanted to do with starting this podcast when I first started it was, like, bring together all of us that do the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, commenters on Drag Race, people who have content, whether it be on Twitter or on YouTube or on Twitch, whatever. You know, having people like Ange B from the Chop Block or Maddie Rance or Runner I or all these people, we all are circling the same community. So why would you want to tear down people from that community rather than trying to just uplift the fellow people doing what you do. That doesn't make sense to me personally. So I'm going to keep doing what I do, which is making friends with people in the community. And let's just say top RPDR will not be one of those friends. The end.
The end. And if you think I was mean, people are way meaner to me on the internet than I was to him. So.
Oh, yeah. If that makes us mean, fine. I'll be mean. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, that has
and
been...
that leads us...
Yeah, that has been your daily discourse. Let's talk about this actual episode, Derek, which I just watched because I was in Europe when it aired. And so I was watching it at my office today, like, on my second monitor. And, like, at one point... I think I texted you this, like, Nymphia was on the screen, like, hobbling around in her little yellow poncho with Jamal Sims on the runway, and a producer, like, came up behind me and was like, what are you doing? I was like, don't worry about
What's the meme? It's like, it'd be easier to explain if I just had porn on.
No, literally, it would be easier to explain. So, let's talk about the episode.
There's a lot. We were talking earlier, like, there was many things we could have had as the daily discourse, because there's so many... conversations coming and stemming out of this episode. There was a lot for no one going home. A lot happened.
Yes, a lot happened. And I think this, my main thing, and we'll talk about it, is that this had the potential to be a top, like, a Drag Race episode of all time if they just went a little further with certain things. We'll get into it. And I just feel like there was a lot of wasted potential in the immunity twist and the challenge, but...
So, the episode starts with Plasma departing, and they were more upset about Tsunami than Plasma. Like, I thought it was going to be a big deal of, like, oh my god, Plasma, she had two wins, she went home. They were like, bye girl. Where, like, they held, like, a funeral procession after Tsunami went home. I thought that was kind of funny.
Can I say, I was actually in London at the same time Plasma was. Plasma was doing Gay Porn Idol on Thursday, and I was so, I couldn't really fit it in my schedule, but I was so tempted to try to make it work just to continue the ongoing drag rivalry of us seeing our favorite drag queens. But yeah, RIP Plasma, that how are you feeling? I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you about it. Are you still in mourning?
No, you know, I put up a video and, like, it felt fair, so I'm not upset. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It wasn't...
Like,
it wasn't
sucks. I love her. But, like, let's be real. She's gonna be just fine. So it's whatever.
All Stars is calling your name, sis.
We're down to our top seven. So the challenge for this week is another remix, but this one is Power, and they have to write verses about trying to, like, encourage people to go vote. This is, like, instead of the, what would you call it, the debate challenge in the last election, this is, like, the what we're getting this year for the election.
I do not like this.
Oh.
Because, first, yeah, season 12, it was the debate challenge. 4 was the debate challenge. Season 8 was the campaign ads, if you remember, the partnered campaign ads. Mm-hmm. And I think both of those are such a better... If you're going to do a political challenge, I feel like those two formats are kind of the way to go with it. I don't think this needed to be a verse challenge. We just had a verse challenge. You know what I mean? I just didn't think the political challenge needed to be this.
I think with a different cast... Okay, let me just say, I love this song, I love this episode, I love everything. But the political messaging that we're leaving with, I think with a different cast, we would have had much better results. Because, weirdly, a lot of these queens just decided to make the verses about themselves, which was like, oh, okay. I feel like we didn't leave the episode with a big, like stance or, like, push, like, against, like, what I think they were trying to go for.
Yeah, you know me, I'm not really a big fan of verses and girl groups. I don't think they need to be done more than once in a season, and now we get them 3 times in a season. This is the same challenge they had to do for girl groups. It's the same challenge. It's the same shit. What do they do that's different? What's different? They have to go,
there was a stage this time, and they had, they got to do Jamal Sims' choreography.
I mean, that's a little more difficult, and that was kind of fun, actually. I actually like that part of the episode, like, seeing them try to do it. Like, I like Jamal. I think he's fun.
I love Jamal.
Yeah, I seeing them do, like, you know, challenging choreography, I guess that's, like, an added element to it or whatever. I just feel like they added this because they knew that, you know, this cast isn't... They're great. They're delightful. They're not funny. A lot of them are not funny. Or, like, they're not funny in challenges. They're unintentionally funny. I think Morphine's fucking hilarious, but, like... in challenges, they're not funny, and so they didn't do, you know, something that's reminiscent of the skills required in Snatch Game, where you have to improv. That's what the campaign challenges are. You have to sort of be quick on your feet, and I think instead they were like, let's just do a verse challenge because we know they can all sing and dance and be cunty, and I don't think many of them even did that well this episode.
I think that the hope was when they do, like, a debate challenge, there's really no, like, seriousness. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, pushing, like, topics that need to be talked about. But, like, if we let these marginalized humans write about things that are important to them when it comes to election year, we might get more, you know... Let's be real. I think this is the Emmy episode.
Emmy's
this
was bait. The Emmy episode. They did it for Emmy's for sure. Bait. Yeah, and I think it backfired because all of them were just like, I think, didn't Plain Jane make a joke about stuff in her ballot box? Like, I don't think that's what they were going for here, but that's what happens because you give them a sleigh dance be cunty challenge. That's what they're going to do. You get fucking Maya rhyming equal with equal. I don't know what, you know, you're not casting the goddamn poet laureates of America here. Like, I
think other casts, like, imagine, like, season 14. They would have been so good at this challenge because there were so many, like, very political, you know, people who are good at expressing their political opinions on season 14. Not saying the queens on this season aren't. We just haven't seen it from them as much as in other seasons.
Yeah. And you know what's annoying, too, is I like the idea. I like the funk concept. I think Saphira is the only one who really got it, though. Like, I didn't get that vibe from anybody else.
I will say this song... is a whole ass bop. I love this song.
The song is good. I think it was a little like, I feel like it's hard. Not saying I could do it better. I certainly can't. I think it's hard to write to. I felt like a lot of the verses were a little off and it's in their rhythm, but I like, you know, the core parts of it, the chorus and all that stuff. That was well produced. I think it was unique. It was a hard one. It was a tough one. I don't know.
As a lover of Rumix episodes, I was not let down because to me there was really great performances and like cringy moments. And that's what I love. Like a good balance of both. And I feel like we got that.
That's true. I think a lot of it was more cringe. I don't know. There was some really cringy lines going on in here. I was just like, oh man, I don't let the conservatives get a hold of this one because it's not going to help our cause. Like,
I have the lyrics up too, so we can like break down the verses when we get to that point. But I think we need to talk about one of the biggest players in this episode, Nymphia Wind. Who?
How do you feel about, you know, Nymphia, Derek?
Listen. So the last girl group episode, she had Megami write her verse, which, you know, not everyone is great at writing, but then she had Maya write her verse. She didn't. Maya helped her write her verse this episode. And to me, I've gotten to a point with Nymphia where I'm over the complaining. I'm so over it. Because I think sometimes it's a joke, but we never know when it is and when it isn't. So to me, it just comes across like it's always serious. And I am so done with it.
I just think if you're a winner, you have to be confident. And I think they so want her to have this, you know, rival to Saphira confidence energy, and she doesn't have it. Like you said, she's complaining all the time. She's very talented. She's a fantastic seamstress. I agree. Some of her looks have been some of the best on this show. I agree, though. I just, at this point, I've done a 180 where I think it's Saphira and Plain, like, in my top two, personally. I'm rooting for both of them more than I am for Nymphia because it's like, Saphira, you know, not everything is in her wheelhouse and she just shows up and she's like, okay, how am I going to attack this? How am I going to do it? And I just respect that attitude more in life in general. You know what I mean? Especially, and like, I don't know, maybe it's hard to tell when you're in the moment, but if I'm Nymphia, I'm like, okay, I've clearly been thrown a bone and handed some production plot armor here. They clearly want me to make it to the end. I should utilize that to my advantage and be more confident about it instead of fucking whining all the time. And I just feel like she's just whining all the time. All the time.
I'm not saying this is true. The edit is making it look like she does not take anything seriously. Like, she's not taking the challenges seriously. She's not taking the recording of this show seriously. And to me, when there's people who are, like, very competitive, that interests me more than someone who's just there to goof around.
I agree. And I also, you know, I'm getting tired of the yellow shtick, the banana shtick. I'm so, And I get it, she was a little limited, which we'll get to in the runway, because it was colors. How is she not going to do yellow? But also, you know, her verse was still the same vote yellow thing. Like, it is... I get you gotta have a brand, but I'm like, you are selling yourself short and doing yourself a disservice by going with that shtick every 5 minutes.
I want to see... how many of Nymphia's runway looks do not have yellow? Okay, so out of 12 looks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them are yellow looks.
I mean, it's just funny to me because I'm like, y'all read Tina Burner for filth for that. Listen, I know that Nymphia has a higher, you know, style palette than Tina Burner ever did, and I get that. But it's also like, it's the same shit, man. It's this runway that she had was like the same as her entrance look. Or her first episode look, I'm pretty... It was the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, and, like, it's one thing if 6 out of 12 runway looks are yellow or may not include bananas. Okay, cool. But it's also the performance challenges. She's worn yellow. In the workroom, she wears yellow. Like, any chance... For the Snatch Game, she did a banana lady. Like, she, whenever has the opportunity, she will take it and do something that involves yellow or bananas or both.
Yeah, and that's just not the vibe that I got from her Meet the Queens. Like, obviously, because she wasn't fucking wearing yellow, but also, like, I don't know. I just have unfortunately done I feel like she started out so strong, and now it's just like, okay, the only thing you can really, you know, say that you're confident in is sewing, and you know, that's great. I love a fashion queen who can turn out a look, but, I think they threw her a bone this episode by not giving her an improv comedy challenge to do. And she still fucked it up. Like, at this point, I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm not rooting for you anymore.
It's crazy to hear that you're rooting for Plain over Nymphia when, like, earlier on in the season, you were like, fuck Plain Jane, Nymphia all the way.
Well, because at the very least, I get Plain now. I respect her game. You know, I think she takes herself seriously. And takes her drag seriously, and I just feel like I am responding more to that at this point. I don't want her to win, I want Saphira to win, but I also just feel like Nymphia has been carried through the second half of this competition. I can't say that about Plain.
Yeah, I agree. So, I remember saying last week, Nymphia needs to give us something other than yellow or bananas this next episode, and we only got bananas and yellow this entire episode, so I don't know if she can... I don't know how many people actually feel this way. I know there's people talking about it, but I'd be curious to see, like, if I did, like, a poll or something. Like, what the count would be on, like, who's over Nymphia, who's still rooting for Nymphia. Because maybe she has a bigger chance of winning than I'm giving her credit for. But for me, I just don't see it at this point.
And I do. I don't want to come off, like, too much of a hater. I think her tie look is one of the best looks we've ever seen in the history of this show. I loved her talent show. I thought it was so beautiful and poignant, and she brought her culture to the stage. She's so smart. You can tell that she is so smart, and she is such a talented artist. And I'm just kind of like, I'm waiting for you to bring that. You know, I've seen you bring it in the first half of this competition. That's why everybody was so scared of you. That's why Plain ranked you last deliberately. Like, I'm waiting for you to bring that. You have no excuse. That's it. I just want to see more from you because I think you're very talented. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. So that's the Nymphia of it all. I think we should talk about the invincibility potion of it all, because a lot of people are saying that this was a flop. Of a twist.
It was, I agree, and I'm gonna tell you what the missed opportunity in this goddamn episode was. It was the last point that she could use the immunity potion, and she used it on Nymphia, which is interesting. That's an interesting choice. And then you take away all of the momentum out of that by making it a non-elimination episode where nobody goes home. What would have been fucking awesome is if Plain saved Nymphia, then they put Plain in the bottom as, like, the you-have-to-prove-yourself bottom two moment against Q, sends Q home. That would have been perfect. because it would have made, like, it would have saved Nymphia, and it would have made Plain Jane go into, like, super protective cunt mode and being like, oh, you know what, I'm never gonna help anybody in this competition ever again. And it would have actually meant something, the immunity potion actually would have meant something. If nobody goes home, it means nothing. God damn it.
I fully agree. I don't think the showrunners had the balls to send home two girls with two wins back to back.
And that sucks because it's clear to me that Q is not winning this season.
Yeah.
RuPaul does not live for Q the way that she lives for Saphira and Plain Jane. Like, it's not happening. No. Like, this episode pissed me off because I feel like you could have made the case for everybody except Saphira to be in the bottom, and Morphine maybe, to be in the bottom two. You could have made the case for literally anybody, and you pick this episode to be like, no one goes home. It's because the people that they wanted to do badly, that they wanted to get rid of, did not do bad. Like, did not do as bad as people. Like, Nymphia and Q did the worst. That's what happened. Like,
the bottom three were the three people with two wins.
Right.
Which was crazy.
So they didn't want anybody from that pack of people to go home for storyline reasons, so they were just like, nope. It's a top two. That's pussy shit. Sorry. Like,
yeah. I mean, I fully agree with you. I do get from a showrunner perspective why losing two frontrunners back to back and still having queens with zero wins or like one win and like a lot of bottoms like might kill the momentum going into like the end game. I love this twist. I think they should bring this twist back, especially now that we've seen how it's done wrong. Queens can come in and say, okay, here's how I can do it better. On Survivor, they keep twists for more than one season because, like, there's more than one way to use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I would like them to keep it. I think it did make it interesting for a little bit there. I just, you know, mm-hmm. I think the producers could have had an all-time episode if they committed to sending somebody home, and they didn't.
Yeah, yeah. On one hand, it is annoying. On the other hand, I love the cast so much. I love this top seven that I'm like, fine. Let's do it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I also feel like, I don't know, you could have made Dawn the sacrificial lamb. I don't think Dawn's getting much out of this top seven. You could have put Q and Dawn in the bottom if you really wanted to and been like, Dawn has no wins. Like,
bye.
There were ways to do an elimination here. There were. Because I know I can see what's happening down the road. I can foresee it. Like,
yeah, this episode was a good episode, though. Like, there was so many shady moments, like Maya and Morphine going back and forth. And then when they're doing their dancing with Jamal, like the peanut gallery is always like shading who's ever on stage. Like, this cast is so strong. I love this group of girls. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
Me too. I mean, I even like, you know, I usually don't like the choreography scenes because I think they're like filler. But even like them doing their thing with Jamal, I think was fun. When Jamal's like, oh, show me a move, and Maya just does a backflip, I was like, this is hilarious. This is so funny.
And they're like, show us something else. Is that all you can do, bitch?
And yeah. It's like, oh. And it's like, damn, bitch, I can't backflip. Like, that's pretty impressive to me. Damn.
I love that Maya has come out of her shell. Like, this is Maya. We've seen her now. Like, I feel like the first, like, six or seven episodes, she was so subdued, and it took this long to, like, finally come out of her shell. But now that she's out of her shell, she's so funny.
She's so funny. She makes me die every single time. I'm just like, damn, you're hilarious.
She'll say the shadiest thing in like the most like monotonous little voice. She's just like, no, you couldn't. Anyway, you can cut the dress, but you still wouldn't win. It's
no,
like,
oh. Yeah, I do love this cast. I truly do love this cast. I think this is like the best season that we've had in quite a long time. I think everybody came ready to play for TV. I think they're all gonna make great TV on All Stars in like, you know, 6 months from now when they all get invited back. The way I just almost made Derek spit out his smoothie. I'm dead. I just think, I mean, I always think this, it's production kind of limiting their sensibilities here and not going for that. Because I'm like, if you're introducing twists like immunity and ranking, go all the way with it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like it's so subdued that I'm like, okay, you're making it more frustrating to watch. Not that I like twists, but I'm like, if they have to be in the show, make them have some kind of payoff for me. Like, don't intervene and be like, ah, ha, ha, we're gonna use our production magic.
What do you think about Dawn's growing villain edit? In this episode, she told Plain to tell Nymphia that she would use the potion on her, but then not use the potion.
I mean, Dawn's playing smart in the sense that, you know, she hasn't really had much of an arc on this season, so she's just trying to stir shit up for them to keep her there, and I think that's a smart move. And I also it's funny that she's like a happy little elf, and everyone's like, no, you're not.
There's like all the memes that's like the show's villain, and it's plain, and it's like the real villain, and it's Dawn.
Yeah.
But I feel like Dawn needs to either win or survive a bottom two lipstick at this point. Like, she needs to prove, she's proven things in other challenges, but she needs to have like a moment, and you only get a moment like that from lip syncing or winning.
Yeah, I think she's next to go, and I like Dawn. I'm not feeling it for her this season.
Yeah, I could see Dawn and Maya being the next two to go.
I think
so. Just depending on how things play out. Do we want to get into the challenge, the runways, the shenanigans?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So, the song is Power, and Dawn starts out the number, and her verse reads, "Y'all ready for a therapy session? Here we go. We've got power. Being true to love will always make them cower. Writing up laws won't stop our wild, healing up our inner child. Who you are cannot be tamed, so bears don't bear their shame. Connect your privilege, making change. It takes a village. That child in you can put up a fight too."
I think it was fine.
It's fine. Does Dawn have funk? Yes or no?
No. No, but she's self-aware about it, and I respect that.
Yeah, who was it? Oh, I think it was Matthew, said that Dawn shouldn't have worn black for that number, because it was like a black set, and she just kind of got lost, which I agree with.
I agree with that. I think her, you know, approach to it, I guess, was smart, because, you know, you get the challenge, write a political verse inspiring people to vote. I'd be like, fucking, I don't know, man. So I guess it was a smart idea to play on the mental health aspect of being a queer person. That's not a bad way to go about it. Are we talking runways now as well?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is fine. I don't know.
Okay, I hate, like, comparing to other queens, but for me, this look really is a mixture of Crystal Method's, like, blueberry fortune teller look and her Ebenezer Scrooge look.
Ooh, interesting.
From season 12.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm looking at it right now, I'm looking at a photo of it on my phone. I don't know what about it is not connecting with me. It just isn't. I also don't think, I don't know if this was like I think she got fucked over because somebody else did blue and they did blue way better than she did.
But I mean, that's something that we've both said throughout the season, is like, we can't pinpoint what we don't like about what Dawn's wearing, but it just doesn't connect to us.
Yeah, for sure.
For this look, I actually love this look. This is my favorite look she's worn all season. I love how she performed it, like skittering across the stage, like, I think it's really fun. I think the sleeves really work, this, like, you know, super long, dangly sleeve moment. I don't know exactly what she is, but it's exciting to me, and I liked the color palette, the, like, midnight blue, the navy blue, and then the, like, powder sky blue. So, Dawn this week, I'm teetering between open and close. I think I'm going to give her an open, because the challenge wasn't great.
I'm going an open as well.
Up next, we have an ad. Up next, we have Maya, I'm on the page, who in the song said, "VOTE, living in a country where our rights should be equal, just because I'm gay doesn't make me less equal." Let's take a chance to make a difference. We got the power. Let's use our voices. Don't let them win. Let's keep it going. Martin Luther King, I have a dream.
I think she actually did well in terms, I don't think her verse was great, but I think she did well in terms of selling it and the performance. You know, she knows how to perform. I can't knock her for that. Rhyming equal with equal is certainly it's like a pit bull rhyme Kodak with Kodak moment, you know what I mean? But also, I've seen her write lyrics that are good, so I think they all were just really limited by what they had to do for a verse about politics. Like, you have to try not to veer into afternoon Sunday special territory, you know what I mean? I don't fault her too much for that. It's a tough balance to nail. But I think, you know, she sold it. She sold what she did, even though it wasn't great writing. And I think her runway was cute. I think this is probably the best one of the best looks she's had all season.
Yeah, she chose red for her color. It was True Colors runway, so they each had to pick a color. She's wearing this pageant gown with feathers and appliques and a nude illusion, which she looks stunning. I think her verse, the lyrics weren't, there wasn't any, like, clever wordplay that I was kind of hoping for Maya, but I think her verse was fine. She performed well, and her runway was great, so she's getting a close case for me.
Yeah, she gets a close case for me, too. She was in the top half, I think, of everybody in this challenge.
Well, and she kind of got that, like, stamp of approval from Rue. Like, see, you can do this. Like, I know you could do it. You're showing how, that you can do it. Now keep it going.
I'm here for the Maya Chaos arc. I want her to just flip her way to the top three and piss everybody off because everybody is just shitting on her constantly on Twitter. And I mean, we're gonna, it's racism, first of all. It's anytime anybody aggressively shits on a black queen on Twitter, it's racism.
Especially when they send home a white favorite.
No, literally. And, you know, check yourself for that. If you're like, oh no, I just don't like her. No, it's racism. And I just, like, I don't know, I like seeing her succeed. She's a good performer. That's what drag is, you know what I mean? She might not be the most kind of effervescent personality, she might not have the constant quips and the banter with Rue, but she is talented, so I stan.
Dare I say, she has a great storyline if she ever wants to come back for All Stars.
For sure.
Give her, like, 2 years to just kind of work on comedy and things like that, and I think she could come back and it would be a nice little storyline to see, like, how much she would grow as, like, a TV character.
We stan Maya.
We do. I love her. Up next, we have Morphine, who, her verse says, she ate this up. She said, I got my place in the front lines. I got that heat that inspires. I got my space in the hard times. I got that beat that desire. I got that drag that they ban on. I got that skin with the armor. I got that ballot to write on. They know they can't take our power. That is my favorite verse. Like, verse-wise, that was my favorite.
Yeah, I tweeted when I first watched this, I was like, oh, nobody did well except for Safira. And then I watched it again, and I was like, you know what? Morphine actually did really well. Morphine took a really difficult concept and put it into a verse that makes sense and flows well. She looked gorgeous in that wig. Do I think it's, like, the most show-stopping verse I've ever heard? No, but I think she was definitely, you know, her and Safira being the top two of the challenge, that was correct. And I loved her runway. She looked so hot. She's so fucking hot. What the fuck?
She chose purple, and she's just wearing this, like, feather purple gown with this hat. I mean, we've loved Morphine since the Meet the Queens, and to see her finally, 10 episodes in, have her breakout moment, it just feels so correct.
Yeah, I'm super happy for her. I don't know how much longer she's gonna stick around just because this was her, you know, first real breakout moment and we're almost done with the season, which is crazy to say. But I'm happy she got her flowers this episode. I rescind my comment on Twitter that everyone did bad. I think two people did kind of good. Close case for me.
Close case for Morphine. Up next, we have Nymphia Wind, listen. For all of these that I'm reading, there's many words. Nymphia's is like nothing. She said, ooh, it's getting windy. Aspire to community. Nymphia, for equality, do not ban my beauty. You better get that power within your flower. Have a seat at the table when you vote yellow. That doesn't rhyme.
This was ass.
This was so bad. And this was with help.
If you really wanted to, what I would have done if I was her was go back, try to remember my verse, or if it's written down somewhere, go look at the one that Megami wrote and kind of change some words up a little bit, maybe like reverse use the same flow, just change the words, and you would have been fine.
Did you see the ones that Megami was writing for everybody?
I have not seen that because I think that was happening when I was on a plane.
Bitch, hold on. So Megami was writing ones for everybody, and the one that she wrote for Nymphia was everything.
Work.
Suddenly everyone likes Megami again. Like, okay, that's all it took.
Every episode, week to week, we decide if we actually like or hate Megami. It's so cool. I love this fandom.
Okay, so for Nymphia, she wrote, there's a change in the wind. Can you hear it blowing? Together as one, our power's growing. Vote yellow, vote green, vote red, white, and blue. Just get out and vote. It's all up to you. There's power in community. Stand together in unity. Be true to yourself and you'll bloom like a flower. We're stronger than hate. You can't ban this power.
That is much better than what Nymphia wrote.
I wish Megami could have won this challenge. For real.
For real. Yeah, this was not... Nymphia did really bad this episode. I think if she didn't get immunity, they would have found a way to save her from the bottom still.
Well, they would have said... Because she did... She was good at the dancing. She did a flip when she came in. She had rhythm. And especially next to Plain Jane, when they had their little, like... After each set of verses, the two or three that, like, did them would do a little number. And she... was what like way better than Jane. But the issue is she's wearing fucking bananas. What? It's now's not the time, sister, now's not the time.
Yeah, no, her verse was bad. She can dance, I'll give her that. She can dance. She should be happy that Plain used that immunity potion, although now I know that it would have just been a fucking top two anyway. No one would have gone home. So Nymphia saved yet again. I would respect her more if they let her lip sync, because I know she can. Let her do it. Let her prove herself. Like, it just kind of pisses me off that she gets all these passes all the time.
Well, and then for the runway, she did, like, a Josephine Baker banana look. And listen, is it a lovely look? Yes. But I preferred her first banana look. And when you have two banana looks to compare, like, the second banana look isn't going to be as fun as the first banana look.
It would have been cunty if she did, like, orange or something. Do something completely unexpected.
Yes, exactly.
Do a different color and then do a reveal and it's yellow underneath. Like, that would have been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do something.
Nymphia, she's getting a cold case for me this episode. She was by far the worst.
Cold case for me as well.
And now, up next, we have Miss Plain Jane, who it starts with moans, in parentheses. Miss Jane, if you're nasty... Yeah, I've got the power, and I'm gonna have to use it. They're coming for our freedom, and bitch, I'm gonna lose it. Their ignorance is strong, so we gotta flex. Spreading the love like I'm spreading my legs. Drag it up and fight for what's right. No great battle can be beaten overnight. So groove to the beat and tell hate to kick rocks. And if you at the polls, you can catch this box.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her verse. I think it was fine. I think she could not do the choreography, and that was evident. Again, I'm giving them all a little bit of leeway because there's no way to not make this shit sound corny. And hers definitely sound like... The thing that gets me with all these verses is, like, who is they? Who are you talking... Like, they can't take our stride. Yes, they can. They're fascists, and the non-fascist party does everything they can to enable them. Like, fucking... I'm like, what are you saying?
Jane, much like Nymphia, I think strayed a little bit too far from, like, what was asked of them with, like, all of her, like, horny puns. Her dancing wasn't great, and her runway, on most runways, would be great, but everyone kind of knocked this runway out of the park, so I think she had my least favorite look.
I liked the look. It wasn't anything particularly special to me. I think she looked great. It just, you know, like you said, it was just kind of a pageant moment. And that's fine.
This is a runway season. Like, these girls did not come to play.
No, so. Yeah, they all killed it. I'll give Plain an open, I think. I don't think she did anything too egregious, but yeah.
I'm gonna give her a cold. Just because, like, the verse, I had issues. The dance, I had issues. And the runway, I wasn't excited by, so.
Oh, so you hate her.
Yeah, I hope she dies.
Exactly.
Someone's gonna just... clip that one part and put it on Twitter.
And put it in a three. Put it in a 3.5-hour video.
Yep. Out of context. Yep, exactly. next up is Q, who decided to dress up as Mick Jagger for some reason, for the performance. And she said, here we go, get down with me. If you want to make change, get up and sing. Now we all live in a crazy place. We're not all the same, but we need our space. Fighting for the right to live. Keep my man and save the kids. If you ain't loud, then how can you hear? Fun to be proud, fight because we're real. That doesn't rhyme. Cast your vote and tell the ones above, take your power and spread the love. And then on the runway, she chose purple as well, and she had this, like, very long fringe hat, and then these, like, very ruffly pants. It was very different for Q.
I just want to... So, Jack sent me... when I was tweeting about the episode, Jack sent me a tweet that is fucking hilarious of somebody calling Q in the challenge... Like, the picture of Q in the challenge. And they called her White Chill Jackson.
No!
That's the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. I can't... Off the top of my head, I can't attribute that to whoever said it, but whoever said it, I'm dead. Yeah, that verse was bad... the performance was bad. The look was fine. I thought it was, like, a little awkward. I feel like it cut her off at an awkward place and made her look really short. This is just not Q's thing, and that's fine. At least I appreciate with Q that she attacked it with as much confidence as, like, you know, she didn't go into it defeated. She was like, I'm gonna make a total fucking ass of myself, and at least I can't say that I, like, gave up before it even started. It was not good, though. It was not good. Cold face. No.
Well, and can we just expose how Q was saved so hard this episode? Because not only did she have no actual choreo in her part, she did a lot of just standing, and then they you know, raised her up and, like, dropped her down, and then she did, like, one small little 8 count that she did a little bit awkwardly. But after everyone else, after they did their verse, would get with the other people that just went, and they would do, like, a 16 count or something. Q and Safira had nothing. It just went to the end where they had to stand with microphones. So Q had literally, just like in the fucking Rusical, no actual choreo to do that she could mess up then.
Yeah. Yeah. And they saved her ass from the bottom anyway. She was the clear worst for me. It's interesting because some weeks they throw her a bone with a sewing challenge and she demolishes everybody else. Other weeks they just... It's every challenge is either a sewing challenge or a verse challenge this season. There's no in between. So it's either like, Q is the best or Q is dog shit. And she's still there either way.
I feel like the runway... I love the runway, but it is definitely... I think she should have padded on the bottom half a bit more, and it would have added some shape.
Yeah, I think she needed pads up either up top or on the bottom. It just was, I don't know, it made her look very short, and I feel like she always looked really tall. She was wearing hair. I feel like she never wears hair. Like, she's always in, like, helmets and, like, weird stuff.
So, yeah, it's hard because I loved her runway, but that challenge was rough. I think I'm still going to give her a cold case because it was just, she didn't look great in the challenge. The challenge was not great. There were issues I had with the runway, too. So, yeah, cold case.
Cold case.
Last up is Safira, who said, all right, kids, let me learn you something. Let's vote. I'm American, bleed red, white, and blue. I got the freedom to love with so much love for you. And if we lift every voice together, use our power in that booth, we can stand whatever the weather and make them see we know the truth. And the truth is, I got the power. Eight.
I love this bitch so much. If she does not win this season, I am going to commit a crime. I just whatever they throw at her, she does it. She doesn't complain. She goes, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, and it works. She can dance, she can sing, she's got stage presence. She is everything to me. This runway, I think, is my favorite runway of the whole season.
The blue and gold Marie Antoinette dress with this blue updo.
It's so good. It's so good. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with her. Close case. If she does not win this season, she has to win. She cannot not win. It is insulting that they made her lip sync for this win. I was like, fuck you, just give her the win.
And not only just make her lip sync to Meghan Trainor.
Whoever's picking these songs this season, please stop. Please don't pick them anymore.
They're not great. We got so many great songs in season 15. We got, like, the Bangle song. We got, like, so many, like, weird picks that you wouldn't expect, but that worked perfectly. This season has weird songs you wouldn't expect, and they aren't working at all.
It's just TikTok songs.
Safira was able to... it was a good lip sync. Like, they were both able to turn it out, but it's like, I want to see them do an actual good song.
No, exactly. Please. Like, that's two very, like, solid performers that could have actually had some kind of real battle, and you had them walk around to a Meghan Trainor song who has never made a song that is not directly sampled from something else. Like, I just, like, you know, walking around doing their little, like, you know... It's barely even a song. It's literally barely even a song. It's a TikTok sound. Yeah. I know that's, like, such a banal, like, you know, boomer criticism, but, like, fuck you. Like...
Well, and it was a good lip sync because, to be honest, Morphine was in the lead for me in the first half. And then Safira in the second half, like, took it. So it was, like, kind of like, ooh, it could go either way.
Yeah, it was a good lip sync. I think it's disrespectful that they made Safira, like, you know, dance through that shit. I was like, give this queen her flowers. You've robbed her of a win several other times this season. But okay.
I was okay with making them lip sync because to me, it was like Morphine and Saphir were very close to me, for me personally. And like who was going to win. Like I could see it go either way.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, this episode did not need to have a top two lip sync. That's my tea. I'm sticking to it. I am so team Saphira. It hurts. And it's going to hurt me physically if this season does not have the outcome that I want it to have.
So as we see, Nymphia gets saved. Probably would have been in the bottom two, or at least bottom three. And Plain Jane gets kind of, like, roasted a lot by the judges. I think they were kind of pissed that, like, just like Saphira, she did not use it wisely.
She didn't use it wisely, but it's also, like, you know, you gave it to them. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna use it however they want to use it. I'm sure Plain Jane had her... they're fucking, right? Plain Jane and Nymphia? Aren't they fucking? Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know if they're actually fucking or if they're just, like, Angeria and Camden fucking.
Right, yeah, it's kind of ambiguous in that way. I thought they were
like Gigi Good and Crystal Method fucking, yeah. I did not appreciate how we went from Dawn telling Jane, you tell Nymphia you're going to use it on her, but then don't. And Jane in the confessional saying, I am not using this thing on Nymphia, why would I ever do that? To then her using it on Nymphia and us not getting an explanation why.
Yeah, I guess we're going to get the explanation next episode, but it's like Nymphia doesn't even like have anything to offer Plain Jane that she needs. Plain Jane can sew. It's not like Plain Jane can't sew. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is.
Jane's best interest to get Nymphia out because Nymphia is competition for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she wouldn't just use it on herself at that point. Like,
yeah, it made no sense. I guess we'll see next episode if it does. But next episode, I'm so excited for.
Wait,
next episode.
Wait, what is it? Because I had to watch it late. MTV wouldn't show me the promo. What is it?
So, they have to do, it's a stand-up number, but they're doing PowerPoint presentations.
Oh my god, wait, a challenge? It's actually good? Wait, that's so
I know.
Cool. So it's like a stand-up comedy challenge, kind of?
They're in pairs, there's a live audience, and they have like a smartboard kind of thing, and they're like, pointing to like a different, they each have like a different PowerPoint presentation that they put together.
Oh, that's fun. I wonder who's gonna win that because the remaining girls are not all that funny.
Well, and this could just be, you know, a way to throw us off. They showed Saphira not doing well.
No,
She pulls like the Mrs. Kasha Davis welcome thing and then like the rattlesnake noise.
I do not accept this.
And then they showed, I think it's Maya and Dawn are teamed up. And it shows them having, like, an awkward moment.
Well, yeah, because how is that gonna work? Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. That's, like, a fun chat. When's the makeover? I guess the makeover's not happening until 5.
Or 6. I mean, there's still 7 right now.
Oh, 7? I'm dumb. Wait, how is one of them alone, then, if they're in pairs?
Unclear. We only saw 2 groups. We saw Saphira is with... I can't remember who Saphira's with. And then we saw Maya and Dawn. And we saw that there's some kind of... potentially a fight, but I don't believe this anymore because there's been a couple things I thought were fights that were literally nothing when the actual episode airs, but we'll see.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
I'm really excited.
That's RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. We have to ask ourselves a question though, Kayla. Is it rigged?
Yeah, this episode was rigged.
Finally!
Finally.
It's rigged! My channel can go on.
Yeah, we're 10 episodes in. This is the first one where I was like, okay, that's some unfair bullshit that you're throwing at us, guys. Like,
it was a good run of fairness.
It was. And then they were like, oh, no, all of the people that we want to make it to the top 4 did bad in a challenge. No one goes home. Bastards. Like, y'all, it's just so annoying. Like, y'all are gonna, like, you're gonna try to keep the tension that Q's gonna win. Okay. Just eliminate her. Like...
okay, but Q can be funny, and I think next week Q could do well. So maybe we'll appreciate that we have Q next week if everyone else is bombing.
That's a good point. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
And we'll be here to talk about it. And probably, hopefully, no more Twitter drama, because we're going to be good.
I was doing so well after the whole, like, Drag Race Philippines thing. I went 3 weeks not getting into it with anybody, and then I have no self-control. Here's the thing, it's never, as what people don't get, it's never serious to me. I don't know these people in real life. I don't even know Derek in real life, technically. We've never met. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is so genuinely unserious to me, and then, like, people get so mad about it.
Kayla, you're such a bitch. How could you?
No, apparently I'm the devil. And I'm just like, bro, like, it's the internet. Like, this is Twitter.com. Like, literally none of this matters.
We were very tame. Very tame.
I really don't even think I was that people were, apparently, the mean thing that I said, where I was like, the top RPDR videos was like, oh, you didn't watch it, and I replied, and I was like, I did watch it, it's not good, and you're bad at your job.
And then LOL. I was like, please.
Like, maybe that was a little mean, but it's also like, I don't know, if you're gonna put that shit out into the world, I'm gonna critique it. People say I do a bad job all the time, and I'm like, I'm not personally offended by that, because it's not my real fucking job. Like,
That was after, though, that he tweeted about, boohoo, I'm a victim, these people are being mean to me, and my video.
We're bullies, so, Derek.
It was fine. If you want to watch us be fools on Twitter, you can follow us at Drag Detective and
Kayla _says_YT. I'm trying to be good again. We'll see how long it lasts. No one pull me into any bullshit. I'm tired. I'm a tired old lady. I'm 26. I'm too old for this shit.
It's so funny, like, the contrast of, like, us doing that and then Pierce just, like, in our DMs, like, haha, this is so funny. What are you guys up to?
That's why y'all love it. Derek said that I bring a lot of traction to this podcast, so y'all don't pretend that you don't even... You love my nonsense. Don't even pretend.
How could you not? How could you not? It's an endearing chaos.
Thank you. I appreciate it, because I truly do not care. Like, I do not give... I do not take any of this seriously. We're all in a simulation. Who fucking cares? Yeah. Go vote, even though both parties are awful if you're in America. We're all doomed. It's the fall of the American Empire is happening within the next, I don't know, year?
As Nymphia told us, vote yellow.
Vote yellow.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you are not already following me, you can follow me at Drag Detective everywhere. And I just put out a video all about why season 16 fucking rips. So go check that out if you have not already. Kayla, what about you?
I'm back. Hold on. What'd you say? That you did the outro?
Yeah, I just did my bit of, like, here's what I have going on.
Oh, cool. Hi, I post videos on YouTube.com. Kayla says, I don't know what my posting schedule is, kind of all over the place right now because I just got back from vacation. Go check me out. I don't talk about Drag Race on there, but I talk about other stuff, and I do a pretty okay job at it. Thanks.
Okay, we will catch you all in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.